This is Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley. Jump in Tucson Monday theme is Wonder, where we celebrate the good things going on at the University of Arizona, including student projects, student learning, student outcomes, as well as top-level performances by artists and athletes and scientists, and especially top-tier research going on with faculty and scientists at the U of A. Our guest this morning is Rob McGeehy. He is the Assistant Director of Education at the UA Science School, the Seward Observatory, part of the Mount Lemmon Sky School. Good morning, Rob.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started and talking about the Mount Lemmon Sky School and astronomy at the University of Arizona, could you tell us a little bit about your own personal journey and how you got to the University of Arizona?
Sure. I'm somebody who's very interested in supporting education for diverse populations of students. I've worked for the past probably 15 years in various capacities, doing that both as a classroom teacher and as somebody who has facilitated professional development experiences for teachers across the country. I came to Sky School because following the pandemic, I really started to feel that I was missing that deep connection with nature and working directly with students, and the UA Sky School is a great way to do both of those things. So I get to work with hundreds of students every year, grades 5 through 12, and we get to go out into nature and explore the ecosystem of the Sky Islands, specifically Mount Lemmon.
So do you have a master's of education or a master's in science, or what is your teaching
credential? Yeah, so my bachelor's is in biology, and I have a concentration in environmental science, but I switched gears with my graduate studies. I have a master's in learning science, and I'm currently working at a doctorate of education in innovation and leadership.
A person after my own heart. That's my degree, a doctorate of education and leadership, and I loved it. It was a great experience. You're going to love the curriculum. It's fantastic. So you're up at the, obviously you're not on Mount Lemmon every single day, but you're up there quite a bit, but you take students up and teach them ecology and biology and the environment and so forth, but you also have a little concentration on looking out into the world and seeing those little pinpoints of light at night, seeing stars. Can you just in general talk about the Mount Lemmon experience and astronomy in particular up on Mount Lemmon and how important that is to scientific learning?
For sure. So the Sky Center, located at the summit of Mount Lemmon, is this really unique environment. We have an opportunity to work with students to learn about the ecosystem here, which is unlike anything you get in the city of Tucson. It's so different. 10 to 15 degrees cooler, more humidity, greater biodiversity in some respects. But it's also an ideal place for astronomy. And so the Sky Center since 1970 has operated several telescopes on site looking into space and whenever the weather's clear and making lots of discoveries along the way. One of our most important programs here is the Catalina Sky Survey, which is constantly searching the skies for near-Earth objects that might be a hazard for people on Earth. But we also have one of the oldest and largest public observatories in the state, and that's our Sky Nights program. So people from the general public can spend a night looking at the stars with some very experienced astronomers. And my program, we are working primarily with K-12 students, but every night that it's clear, we'll use the telescopes to look at distant objects. And that's a really rewarding way to connect students to the field of astronomy.
So you have some students that help you, some graduate students that are in the program with you that assist you with teaching these young kids. And so they come from the U of A, but they also come from some other colleges and universities as well. So how is the graduate student program important in disseminating this information to the students?
Yeah, graduate students are really the heart of the success of our program. I'm, an older, middle-aged guy. I am not the next generation of scientists, but the graduate students that we work with are, and they're a bridge to these younger populations, inviting them to experience nature, to study science, to get connected with all of the scientific research that's being done at U of A and ASU. Our graduate students are so important to our success. They come from both U of A and ASU and are paid stipends for their participation in our programming. They receive training each year to to explore different ways to connect with students and to help them to learn about the natural world. And they're some of the most dedicated and inspiring people I've ever worked with.
And so it's appropriate. Mount Lemmon kind of divides the Catalina Mountains. So on one side, you have the U of A. On the other side, up north, you have ASU. And so they're coming from both sides of the state to come to the Mount Lemmon Sky Center. Can you talk just a little bit about the Sky Center itself? And it's obviously not just for fifth grade through seniors in high school. It's for lots of other people come up to the Mount Lemmon Sky Center. And there's astronomers there on a regular basis, Mount Bigelow and so forth. Can you just talk about the traffic and the what's going on at the Sky Center on a regular basis during the day, but also obviously at night, there's a lot of people up there working on the telescopes. Can you just kind of talk in general about how the Mount Lemmon Sky Center, its significance in our community?
Absolutely. So Mount Lemmon, again, is an excellent place to observe the night sky. It's mostly clear most nights. The air is cool and dry and very, very clear for looking at these objects in outer space that are sometimes extremely dim. And there are a number of telescopes here that are operated by the U of A and by other organizations in the world. So for example, we have a team that has a telescope here from South Korea that are using that remotely, which is ideal for them because when they're awake during the day, it's nighttime in Arizona, they can use that telescope during their normal waking hours. Other astronomers that work on site, for example, at this Catalina Sky Survey, those folks are here sleeping during the day and then working through the night with the telescopes. And so it's kind of an interesting place to be. Whenever I'm here with groups of students, we have to be very careful around buildings that we know people are using for sleeping during the day because we don't want to keep them up. We want them to be productive at night. But it's a great opportunity for students to learn about the telescopes that are here, the projects that people are doing, and to engage in a little bit of astronomy themselves. There's also a program called Sky Nights. It's a stargazing program for the general public. You can come up to Mount Lemmon and look through one of our large telescopes and see objects in the night sky in a really nice and engaging presentation by our astronomy team.
And so that the Sky Nights program, obviously, they would have to make a reservation for that so that they could connect with the people up there. So they would just go on the website and look up how to make that reservation. Yeah. Interested in doing that?
For sure. You can either do a Google search for University of Arizona Sky Center or Sky Nights, or you can go to the website skycenter.arizona.edu.
Right. And so that's open to anybody in the community that wants to do that. They just have to make the reservation in advance so that they can get on the telescope at a certain time. So that's great. It's also very interesting that the telescopes are being used across the world. People from South Korea looking at the night sky through our telescope, but they're basically in South Korea. That's very interesting. Well, when we come back, we'll talk a lot about the U of A Science Sky School and what you do for K through 12 students. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news talk station. You're listening to Dr. Ed Ackerley and our guest, Rob McGeehee, and we'll be back to talk about the Mount Lemmon Sky School after the break. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley, and this is the Wonder Series, where we talk about the cool and wonderful things going on at the University of Arizona. Our guest is Rob McGeehee, is the Assistant Director of Education at the UA Science Sky School, affiliated with the Stewart Observatory and the U of A College of Science at the University of Arizona, and the Mount Lemmon Sky School. So can we talk a little bit about the great program that you have for students K through 12? You concentrate in fifth grade through 12th grade on the Mount Lemmon campus. Can you talk a little bit about the Sky School and what you provide in that residential science program?
Absolutely. We have a number of programs, but most of the schools that we work with choose to do one of our three overnight programs at the Sky Center. And these are really targeted for different grade levels and are meant to be developmentally appropriate and fun and engaging for students of different ages. For our youngest students, they'll usually stay with us just one night. For older students, they may stay two nights or three nights. And then we do a few other special programs that are kind of tailored to the schools that we happen to be working with a little more closely. Each of our programs begins with getting kids outdoors in different parts of the of Mount Lemmon. So we'll use different sites at different elevations to explore how the ecology changes with that increasing elevation. Students are encouraged to make observations using their senses and scientific tools and instruments to draw conclusions about the natural world as they observe it. And so this is an activity that I think is unlike anything that students will encounter in their science classroom. It's really about getting out there and learning by doing, learning through the experience of just observing the natural ecosystem on Mount Lemmon.
And you indicated that they're not necessarily just getting behind a telescope and looking up into the sky, but you're teaching them about Sky Island ecology, biology, geology, and other things related to the environment. So this is a pretty robust program where they're learning a lot about science in a short period of time and kind of the in the laboratory, which is where they are, the environment in which they're living for a couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's really key for us is that our programs are led by the students themselves. So oftentimes we, as the instructional team, we're learning at the same time that the students are. Students have, you know, an innate sense of wonder and a real curiosity for the natural world. And it's contagious. You know, you start looking at rocks with a student who's, you know, on fire for the geology of the mountain. And suddenly you're just, you know, impressed with everything new that you're learning. So we don't necessarily have a strict set curriculum. It's really led by the students' interests, and they're the ones who design the research projects that they're going to do. They're the ones who make the observations, collect the data, and really tell us what they've learned. And every time we have a program up here, I'm just impressed by what students have uncovered about this, you know, unique place in the world. And I learn a lot every day just by working with them.
So the programs that the students collaborate on, you have worked with this local school districts, and these programs meet the Arizona State and Next Generation Science Standards. So they are getting a real curriculum that is actually aligning with the activity that we have in the school itself. And so the school would give them the preliminary training, then they go out into the lab, if you will, up at Mount Lemmon, and are able to then accelerate their learning based on what they have learned in the classroom. So it's kind of an applied learning process, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of times we will work directly with schools to highlight certain areas of interest for the students. In most cases, though, the students are coming up with questions of their own, and we're, you know, helping to facilitate them as they investigate the ecology of the Sky Islands. Most, you know, you mentioned, do we meet, you know, state and national standards for education? I think we meet and exceed them. We go far beyond kind of what is the traditional scope of science education. So most teachers really see us as an opportunity to enrich their existing curriculum and give students these, you know, powerful experiences that, you know, you can only get by, you know, through interacting with, you know, the real world and learning about it hands-on.
Our guest this morning on Jump in Tucson, the Wonder Edition, is Rob McGeehee. He is the Assistant Director of Education at the UA Science Sky School, located in Mount Lemmon, and also on Tankerville Road. There's an office on Tankerville Road, but the main learning goes on at Mount Lemmon. Can you talk a little bit about the nighttime astronomy experiences with the university telescope? So obviously one of the key focuses of learning, obviously they're learning about geology and ecology and biology. So they're looking at animals and rocks and the environment that's there on Mount Lemmon, but they also are using the telescopes to look into the universe and see what they can see. Can you talk a little bit about how the graduate students help them in that experience of looking out into the night sky?
Yeah, absolutely. So for most programs, we actually have three small, you know, astronomy activities that we do quite regularly. The first is that we like to engage students in looking into the night sky and trying to find constellations. Most of us are familiar with, patterns in the night sky like the Big Dipper, but there are dozens of constellations that, you know, probably most of us don't know. And it's fun to get the kids out. We basically have a constellation scavenger hunt. We show them how to use tools to find constellations in the night sky. And then they go through their scavenger hunt in this way that they find pretty fun and engaging. I also like to show students how to use consumer available telescopes, the telescope, the kind of telescope that you can buy, you know, from online essentially. And these telescopes are intimidating because they look complicated and they're kind of big, but really they're simple and easy to use. And once you start using it, you know, it's just a fascinating way to explore the night sky. You just get hooked. Once you learn and understand and kind of get past that first barrier of like, boy, this is new technology. And they're so much fun to use. The third thing we do is we use one of our large telescopes, the kind that's in the big dome that that everybody thinks of when they're thinking about the, you know, astronomer, the professional astronomer. And these are really exciting because not only can the students look through them, but because the interface that we use to control them is based on a computer application that's pretty easy to use, students can actually choose the objects that they want to look at and point the telescope themselves. So they have a lot of agency in deciding what we look at. My favorite thing to do with these programs is to start talking about students, start talking with students about how when we look into the night sky, we can pick out individual stars or what we think are individual stars. But the reality is that about half of the things that we see in the night sky with the naked eye that look like individual stars are actually more than one star. Sometimes it's binary star systems. Sometimes it's multiple stars that are relatively close together. And you can really pick that out with the telescope. That's my favorite thing to look at. We start with, you know, individual stars. We look at binary star systems, we look at star clusters, and we just explore how big the scope and scale of the universe is.
Great. These students are experiencing an overnight trip or a couple of days where they have a regular dormitory and lodging and meals and so forth. But one of the neat things that comes out of this, you talked about giving them instruction on maybe a telescope that they use themselves when they're back down in Tucson. But the post-trip relationships they have with the scientists after the fact, when they you know, get excited about astronomy or ecology or biology, they can then engage with those U of A scientists on a long time relationship, and the teacher and the classroom can be engaged. And that's a unique part of this experience, is that after the fact, having something meaningful for the students to connect to.
For sure. That's something that's really important to us and to the graduate students that make up our team. Those connections go on, you know, well after the program has ended. In many cases, you know, our instructors become like the older big brother or big sister for the students who come to the Sky School. And that's a really neat relationship to witness.
That's great. So if a school district, a teacher, an individual school, or a parent wants to get more information about the Mount Lemmon Sky School and the University of Arizona program, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you all and try to set something up? Obviously, there's scheduling issues involved in that, and so it may not be something that they can do in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but they set it up through your program. How would they get in touch with you guys to make sure that they could get in on that good learning?
They could definitely visit our website. You can find it either by doing a search for UA Science Sky School or by going to the website skyschool.arizona.edu. There's information about all of our programs there and also contact information if you need to get in touch with me. I want to stress, though, that most of the programs that we do are directly with schools and districts. And most of the time, the best and most effective way that a parent can have their student's school or class visit Sky School is sharing this information with the teacher or with the administration at the school, and they can work directly with me to set something up. So if you're interested in having your kid come to Sky School, make sure that you share our information with their teacher.
Thank you so much. What a really exciting program, the Mount Lemmon Sky School through the U of A. And Our guest this morning has been Rob McGeehy. He is the Assistant Director of Education at the U of A Science Sky School based on Mount Lemmon, teaching young students K through 12 all the great things about ecology, biology, geology, but really importantly, astronomy, and getting them excited about science as a career, but just in the world in which they live. So thank you so much for joining us this morning, Rob. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm a pleasure to be here.
Great. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI. We'll be back after the break with some more good things happening at the University of Arizona.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. The Jump in Tucson continues on this Monday with Wonder at the University of Arizona. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, and with us for this segment is Paul Sparks and Giselle Ramon. Rob Sparks. I don't know why I said that. And because I was concentrating on Giselle's last name because we had just talked about that. Giselle Ramon Sabaran. And they are both with, we're going to talk about Kitt Peak and how Kitt Peak is so important. And so, Rob, let's get started with you and talk about your journey and your background a little bit and how you got to Second Street there on the U of A campus and working with the astronomy folks.
I have a sort of a convoluted and interesting path, so it's a little bit different. But as a kid, I loved astronomy, and I always thought I'd love to work for a place like Kitt Peak or possibly Palomar Observatory or Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, and went to college for physics and was a physics major and ended up in grad school. After a few years of grad school, I decided to stop at a master's degree, and I was actually doing high-energy physics at the time. And I decided to go to teach high school physics, math, and astronomy for a while. And I taught that for 11 years. And then a wonderful job opened up here in Tucson in the education department at the National Optical Astronomy Observatory, as we were known at the time. Mm-hmm. We're now known as NSF Noir Lab. And I came here for that, and that was a wonderful experience. I also had a little fellowship at Fermilab, so I got to do some work at Fermilab there for a year, and also the National Radio Astronomy Observatory. So I had this sort of curious combination of education and science work throughout my career.
Great. And so you are at the Noir Lab now, and that's what you do as a living. You're a physicist, but astronomer as well, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And Giselle, could you give us a little bit about your journey from the Tohono O'odham Nation to the U of A and what you do now?
Sure. So I am a three-time graduate from the University of Arizona. My undergrad's in journalism, and my master's and my PhD are in American Indian Studies. And for me, my focus has always been on, you know, telling stories of tribal members and being a resource, and also, you know, helping wherever I could. So being the Tohono-O'odham Nation Education Development Liaison now, you know, with NOR Lab closely working with Kitt Peak, you know, I've been able to carry what I did in my academic career, you know, into the field. And, you know, throughout my life, you know, driving past on Highway, you know, 86 and seeing the observatory up on the Quinlan Mountains, or as we call it in O'odham, Eogam Duog, you know, there was times I always got drawn back, you know, to the astronomy, even though I don't have an astronomy background. But, you know, it really started when I wrote a journalistic article about the history of Kitt Peak. And I was doing that when I was a freelance journalist. And so after that, I stayed in touch with those folks that, you know, helped me write the article, and then had the opportunity to have an internship with Kitt Peak. And then from that, it turned into a part-time job and then led into the full-time position that I'm in now.
Well, that's great. You know, I had that same experience many times driving by Kitt Peak. And I was telling Rob earlier that when I was a little kid, about 10 years old, I think, my little school had a field trip to Kitt Peak, and it was it was a very interesting experience for me, and I've kind of been an astronomy buff ever since. So, Rob, if you could tell us a little bit about Kitt Peak, established in 64, and what its mission is, and what happens on Kitt Peak on a regular basis.
Well, Kitt Peak was actually established in 1958, was when the lease was signed with the Tohono-O'odham Nation. There was a need for a national observatory. Before that, if you were an astronomer and you wanted to do research, you would need to have access to a telescope, obviously,
right.
And that meant you had to be at a university or college that had their own telescope. And they wanted to provide telescopes to all U.S.-based astronomers to actually have access to the night sky. So they started looking for a site. And I looked at hundreds of sites in the Southwest, mostly Southwest due to weather and other considerations, and narrowed it down to a couple. And, of course, Kitt Peak is the one they settled on. And in 1958, they had discovered, it was, of course, on the land of the Tanawatam Nation. And in 1958, they negotiated a lease with the Tanawatam Nation to build an observatory up there. And Giselle, would you like to say anything more about the actual signing of the lease and that process?
Sure. So, you know, the really cool thing about the history is that my tribe have been involved since the very beginning. This isn't something that was done without tribal permission. And so having those initial conversations and discussions, you know, and it's been really cool to be able to talk with elders and also others, and, you know, that maybe had a story passed on to them, you know, to talk about how important it was for, you know, these discussions to happen prior. And for us as Otham, you know, at the time in the 50s, a lot of tribal members didn't speak English. So having a translator be part of these discussions as well, you know, to help explain and translate and, you know, everything of what an observatory would be, what telescopes did, you know, and again, I just can't imagine, you know, those conversations, just, you know, being there and having those stories be passed on, because we are an oral society. So, you know, again, I've been working to collect those, but I think that's just really important to note, is that we were part of the discussion. We were approached from the very beginning and part of, you know, and we still, you know, are very much part of what happens at the observatory.
Rob, there about 2 million visitors a year go up there, and that's what they reports are. Yeah, is that?
No, that's not. We don't have millions a year, so okay. No, that's definitely.
I'm sorry. There have been. I misspoke. I meant that 2 million visitors have visited Kitt Peak in that time frame.
I believe that. Yes, I definitely believe that.
Yeah,
yes.
And so 2 million visitors have been through Kitt Peak to see the visitor center, and then goes. You know, some people get to look through the telescopes and so forth. But that's a lot of people have been there over the last 60 years or so.
Definitely. Yeah. It's one of the best places to do astronomy in the world. And one of the unique things about us is we actually were built to have visitors on the mountain.
Right.
We have a visitor center up there, and several of the large telescopes have visitors gallery where people can go in to a visitors gallery and actually see the telescopes as well, mm-hmm. which a lot of observatories don't have those visitors galleries. So this was actually built with visitors in mind from the beginning.
Yeah, I was one of those little kids that got to see that in action. It was pretty amazing. So you say there's a couple dozen telescopes, major telescopes that are in operation on Kitt Peak and for a variety of different programs, obviously.
Yes, there are some telescopes that we run, the NOAA lab runs, and then there's also tenant observatories, which are run by universities or consortiums of universities. Locally, of course, the University of Arizona is a major partner. They have several telescopes up there, including the Arizona Radio Observatory, the Bach 2.3-meter telescope, and the Space Watch telescope. So they definitely have several telescopes up there that are used for research. NOAA lab, we run the Mayo 4-meter telescope, as well as the Wynn 3.5-meter telescope, are the two major observatories we run. And Caltech runs the 2.1-meter telescope, and that's another one. And there's other smaller observatories run by other universities and consortiums as well.
So what are the two telescopes, the main telescopes that you work with? What are you looking for in this night sky? What is NOAA looking for?
Well, the Mayo 4-meter telescope actually has an instrument on it right now called DESI, the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument. And this is looking at the expansion history of the universe. Many people are familiar with the Big Bang. The Big Bang happened, the universe started expanding. And in the 1990s, astronomers started wondering, is this universe expanding at a constant rate, or is that rate changing? And two separate groups were researching this, and they actually reached the same conclusion. The same shocking conclusion is that the universe's expansion is not slowing down, as most people thought would be due to gravity, but it's for some reason speeding up. And they dubbed this stuff called dark energy, which is making the expansion universe speed up. And we don't know what it is. We don't understand how it behaves. And if I figured this out, they built this thing called DESI, the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument. We're trying to take the spectra of about 35 to 40 million galaxies over 5 years. And the spectra will tell us how fast the galaxy is moving away from us. And if we know how far away it is and how fast it's moving away, we can then figure out the expansion history of the universe. And to do this, we built this 5,000 fiber spectrograph with the Department of Energy. And it's 5,000 little fiber optic cables, so we can observe 5,000 galaxies at once.
Wow.
So we observe those galaxies, those 5,000 little robots place those fibers where the galaxies are, observe those galaxies, as the telescope moves, those 5,000 little robots move those 5,000 fibers to the next pattern of galaxies, and that repeats all night long, and they can measure a couple hundred thousand galaxies a night that way.
Well, that's amazing.
If you're trying to do 40 million, you have to speed it up.
Yeah, that's amazing. We're speaking with Rob Sparks and Giselle Ramon Sabaran from the NOAR Lab at Kitt Peak Observatory as well. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk. We'll be back after the break. You are listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley. Jump in Tucson on Monday continues with Wonder at the University of Arizona. We're talking with Rob Sparks and Giselle Ramon Sabaran, who are with NOAR, the observatory, and most people are familiar with Kitt Peak. Rob, you were just talking about one of the big telescopes that you have up there, but there's another one called WIN that is also operating on Kitt Peak.
Yes, that's WIYN, which stood for Wisconsin, Indiana, Yale, and the National Optical Astronomy Observatory, which were the four founding partners. They've changed. Those letters don't all match anymore, but they still kept the name. It has a really neat instrument on it called NUID. And NUID is an Otham word meaning to see. And this is one of the world's best spectroscopes in the entire world for high-resolution spectroscopy. It can act, they're looking at planets around other stars. And as the planet orbits the star comes toward us a little bit and away from us a little bit. And they're measuring these very precise motions of this star down to a couple meters per second to try and find Earth-sized planets around sun-like stars. Mm. So it's a really neat instrument. And cool. Giselle, do you want to say anything about NUID and the Otham name?
I think it's awesome how we at Kitt Peak are finding this balance to, of course, have the Himathug, which is the Otham way of life and astronomy, and finding ways to be able to use and words like NUID, which you know means to see, you know, with what, you know, Rob is talking about in terms of, you know, the telescope. And also, I'll talk more about other ways that we're collaborating and, you know, just getting creative in what we're doing. And again, finding this balance.
And WIN has a couple other instruments as well. One's the 1-degree imager, a very good imager to image the night sky. And there's also a multi-object spectrograph called Hydra, and this high-speed speckle imager, which is really neat because it can freeze out the atmospheric blurring, called NESSI. As well. So there's a couple of great instruments up
Very
there as
cool.
well.
And then there's another couple dozen telescopes that are doing other things and looking at other for other reasons and operating on a regular basis. So just a general question, you know, obviously the University of Arizona plays heavily into this because they're obviously the NOAR campus is on the campus, but also at Kitt Peak. Why is educating students both at the U of A, but young kids that come through the field trips and so forth on Kitt Peak, and for you, Giselle, even to the whole the Oldham Nation students, why is it important that we talk about astronomy? So, Rob, why don't you go first and talk about why astronomy is important to education?
Well, astronomy is sometimes called a gateway science, and so most people have looked up at the night sky and wondered about it sometimes, so it's a very easy and engaging way to get people interested in science. And of course, once you start talking about astronomy, there's all kinds of other sciences that naturally come into it as well. You have to talk about physics, you have to talk about chemistry and engineering and optics, and all these other sciences are all necessary to make astronomy work. And increasingly, things like computer science, database management, because so many of these telescopes are taking, you know, so much data, you have to have people that can analyze it and make it available to astronomers to research as well. So it really does take a lot of encompasses so many different fields of science. And of course, we live in a society dominated by science and technology. And you have to have people that understand science and technology to make good decisions about how to use it in the future as well. And astronomy can help start people down that path, that is a wonderful way to get people on that path.
Giselle, why is astronomy and Kitt Peak important to the young kids from the Tolan Oldham Nation and your engagement with them and teaching them about astronomy, but also is it a gateway for them as well?
Yeah, you know, just echoing everything that Rob said, and, you know, certainly also, you know, for Kitt Peak, it sits on the main part of the Thon Otham Nation. We have four parcels that are all not connected, but the biggest is, like I said, the main part of the reservation. And so resources. And, you know, it's always a factor, even, you know, whether you're on the reservation or not when you're in school. So we have this observatory and, you know, using the resources there and getting students engaged throughout, you know, having these kind of like touch points throughout their lives to come up and learn about astronomy, you know, I think is really important. I think also too, talking about the history of how the observatory came to be on the Thonautham Nation. I think it is important for, you know, tribal members to know about the history of how Kitt Peak National Observatory became to be on our one of our sacred mountains. And, you know, certainly sharing and having that time to be with our youth and even, you know, beyond, you know, when after, you know, they're finished with school, but still having a chance to come back and visit the observatory, you know, to know about how astronomy is tied and interwoven and part of our himatag, you know, our way of life, and how, you know, there's stories that we tell that talk about how the sky was created, how the Milky Way was created. And so, you know, those are important stories to tell during the winter time. So again, having these chances to have connections that with the students and have them think about these different things, you know, is super important. And there's, you know, throughout my time, and being, you know, in this liaison role, meeting so many of our tribal members that it's their first time visiting the observatory, you know, or they haven't been up to observatory in like 20 years. But it's really great to see the little ones, you know, when they come up and their eyes just light up, you know, seeing all the different telescopes that we have up there and the engagement that we're doing with them.
And one of the great things about having the little guys come up to the mountain is they go home and they tell their parents and their extended family about what they saw, and that generates some more interest. Yeah. So, Rob, how can the listeners engage with Kitt Peak and get involved in the programs and astronomy?
Well, we have a visitor center up there, as I mentioned before. It's open pretty much every day. I think they close for Thanksgiving and Christmas. That's about it. And of course, there may be weather-related closures too if there's floods or severe weather, but or snowstorms in the winter even. But they have daily tours of three of the major telescopes: the McMath Pierce Solar Telescope at 10 a.m., the 2.1 meter telescope at 11:30, and the 4 meter telescope at 1:30 p.m. In addition to, and of course, there's a visitor center with exhibits as well. For nighttime tours, they have a nightly observing programs where you can go up there and actually observe through a telescope. You get to have a light dinner. You get to see sunset up there, observe through a telescope for a couple hours after sunset. And it's a really wonderful experience. And there's even, if you want to, for the hardcore, if you're going to go all out, there's an overnight telescope operator program where you and up to three friends for a total of four people can actually rent out a telescope for an entire night. Wow. Basically, as long as you can stay up at night, you'll get your own private guide. You get to eat in the dining hall up there, which normally only the astronomers and staff get to eat at. And you get a dorm room afterwards to sleep at before you try and drive back down the mountain next day, because we don't want sleep deprived people driving down that mountain.
Right. That's exciting. Well, this is great. Gisella, if we wrap up with just this question for you, what's the most fulfilling thing about your career working with the Oldham students and the U of A and the NOAR project? What's been the most fulfilling thing about this career that you've started here in Tucson?
I think the engagement and the connections and, you know, relationship, partnerships, all of that, you know, and that really comes from being a journalist and, you know, being able to talk with people and share with them and, you know, all the different groups that have come up, again, seeing their faces light up, you know, whether they are a kid or an adult, you know, and being able to really talk with them and, you know, a lot of the collaboration Rob and I do, and, you know, we lead tours and, you know, again, just that interaction engagement is, you know, really great to have. And that, I think that's the most rewarding and, you know, important part of my job and what I'm doing. And, you know, I love it. It's fun. And, you know, come visit, come up to the mountain, you know, reach out if you got questions.
That's excellent. Well, I'd like to thank you both for coming in today and the great work you're doing at the University of Arizona, the NOAR Lab, Kitt Peak. It's great. It's wonder, and that's what we talk about on Mondays. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, go to jumpintucson.com and let us know, and maybe you'll be live on the air like Rob Sparks and Giselle Ramon-Sabaran, who are with Kitt Peak and the NOAR Observatory. Thank you both for coming this morning. We appreciate it, and thank you for listening to Jump in Tucson.